Eric Max Francis wrote a poem, and that poem was entitled In Her Rocking Chair, and I'd like to read it to you this morning. Quote, she watches the cracks in the walls and plays with the dust on the window. She plays solitaire over and over and never quite seems to be able to win. Her arthritis is worse and her eyes are weak. Her knees ache when she tries to stand and her back won't quite hold her upright. The doctor can only say, there's nothing I can do. End of quote. Why is it when we think of older people, we tend to think of rocking chairs? Do you think of that? I do. When I think of older people, I tend to think of rocking chairs. Maybe I have that image in my head because after my dad retired, he and my mom would sit on the porch in their rocking chairs, enjoying the sunshine of the day, sometimes even the rain of the day. Sitting there would invite others to come and stop to visit with them. I think of rocking chairs when I think of grandparents. There's nothing I loved more than when my grandchildren were babies and I would rock them to sleep as an infant. I would love to continue to do that now, but they won't let me. Do you know that there has been research done and they have found that people who rock have a peace of mind? There is a study done also in a nursing home, where they took 25 residents in a nursing home and every day they placed them in a rocking chair. As those elderly people would rock, that they found was that they were more content. They were more happy. And then they took those same 25 residents and for the next 6 weeks, they disabled the rocking mechanism on the chair. And what they found was that the people got agitated. They weren't near as happy. Rocking chairs are thousands of years old. Did you know that? Thousands of years old. How many of you have a rocking chair in your home? Many of us, right? Rocking chairs are still popular after all these years. Go to Cracker Barrel. What's outside of Cracker Barrel? Rocking chairs. You can sit and rock while you're waiting to be seated if there's a wait, or you can purchase one and take it home and have it for yourself. There's just something about a rocking chair. Rocking chairs give us that fuzzy, warm feeling of comfortableness. Maybe we should take the pews out of the church and bring in rocking chairs.
We'd all be sleeping.
Maybe you should purchase me a rocking chair so I could sit and rock as I bring the message for you. I have a friend whose son actually wore out two rocking chairs in a 10-year period. Rocking chairs, they're comfortable, aren't they? So if we had rocking chairs here in our church, we would all be comfortable. Isn't that what God wants? Doesn't God want us to be comfortable in our church? Not according to the prophet Isaiah. What were the first two words that Joyce read to us this morning? Arise, shine. We're not to be a sleepy church. We're not to be a church that's rocked into complacency. No, we're to arise, we're to shine. Jesus said to the disciples on that mountaintop, get up. And what does he say before his ascension? Go. So it isn't about sitting here, soothing ourselves, watching the cracks in the wall and the dust gather. But it's about seeing with the eyes of God. To see where it is that we are taken out of our comfort zones to do the ministry that he calls us to. So it's not about being a rocking chair church, but it's about being a rocking church. And when we think of rocking chairs and we think of elderly, I can tell you there are some elderly people right here in this church that are rocking, not in a rocking chair. Rocking chair church has no goals. The goal is only to soothe themselves, to make sure that they have that personal comfort and contentment, to make sure that their needs are taken care of. Oh, they welcome people, new people among their midst. But people aren't coming. That's not the world we live in today. We don't live in a world where people wake up on a Sunday morning and go, you know what, I think I'm going to go to church today. They might, if someone plants that seed in their hearts. But we can't plant that seed in their hearts if we're sitting in the pews. See, we have to go out. And that's part of the reason we have put together a vision team. To discern how it is that God wants us to be in mission and ministry to make disciples for the transformation of the world. And I believe it is part of every person who is on that visioning team to be open to God's vision. And I believe they should be able to do that without fear. Jesus says to the disciples, get up and do not be afraid. The sad thing is, our visioning teams are afraid. They're afraid because of all the voices that are coming at them. The voices that say, well, if you close Wesley Church, I'm not going to Christ Church. If you close Christ Church, I'm not going to Wesley Church. First, let me tell you, those words have never been spoken in a vision meeting. Yes, we looked at what options there might be, and one of the options was to close one of the churches and come together, but it has never been spoken, we're going to close Christ or we're going to close Wesley. That has never been said. So if that is what you hear, I would ask that you squelch that rumor and that you say, we aren't sure yet what God's vision is for us to do ministry together, but we're working on it. We're working on it. And, you know, even if that is where God leads us and we think, well, that's just a crazy idea, we need to remember that we are serving the God of creation, the God who created the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, who has given us day and given us night. And so whatever it is that God calls us to, I don't think he has it wrong. I don't think he has it wrong. But I think the people that are looking to that vision should be able to be open and honest as they share without the fear of being criticized. And also, if you are saying, I won't go to that church if they close the church that I now attend, what is that telling the people that are outside the four walls of the church? We don't like people very much, do we? Jesus says, get up and do not be afraid. But there are a lot of people here that are not part of that visioning team. And for those people, you need to show that visioning team your support. You need to listen to them. You need to support them and encourage them. And you need to say to them, we will provide you with the resources that we can to fulfill the vision that God is giving us. See, it's important that we cooperate with one another. These people have spent months, 8 months now, we've been looking at this vision that we are hoping God will give us. And whether God has given it to us and we've just had our blinders on, I'm not sure. But they may be spending many more months in this visioning process. But the point is going to come when they are going to have to step out in faith to reveal the will of God. And they should be able to do that with confidence and without fear. See, my job as pastor is to prepare you for ministry. It's not to do the vision for you. I'm not God. I don't know the vision. I am sitting at the table with everybody else that is there, saying, God, speak to us. Show us what it is. Tell us how it is that you want us to be your church here in Tyrone, Pennsylvania. And the only way we can do that is when we work together. I'm not here to do the ministry by myself. I couldn't do it by myself. I need all of you. We need to be in ministry together. And ministry together to fulfill the vision that God has doesn't start with, I won't. Ministry together doesn't start with, well, you know what? I think you should. I think you should. No. Ministry together means that we pray. We pray and we say, God, reveal to us how it is that we can be better together to be your church, to show others that love that you have for those who are lost, those who do not yet know the Savior of the world. And then we come together and we say, you know what? God's been tugging at my heartstrings. And this is what I think he is saying. And together we pray about that. And we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that we can clearly hear God's voice. Remember, God says, this is my son. Listen to him. And then when we hear that voice clearly, we have to continue to pray for guidance and direction of how that will be carried out. And my friends, there are going to be risks. There are going to be failures. There are going to be times that we don't get it right. But there are also going to be successes. And so we can't live by what ifs. When God calls us, we need to remember with confidence and trust him that he is never going to lead us astray. So rockin' church doesn't just do things because, well, that's the way we've always done them. They do things because there is a purpose and a passion. A purpose to fulfill God's will and a passion to do that. They figure out who God's calling them to be. And they work together, remembering that their purpose is to go out and make disciples for the transformation of the world. That's the purpose of every church, whether that's their mission statement or not. That's the mission statement of the United Methodist Church. But honestly, that's the mission statement of every Christian church. To go out and make disciples, to bring others in, because this is how it works. Disciples make disciples, make disciples, make disciples, and the kingdom keeps building and building and building and growing. And it goes on for generation after generation after generation. However, in order to be able to do that, we need people who passionately want to follow the will of God, wherever that takes them. They want to be involved in ministry, asking, where is it that I can serve? What is it that I can do? Again, we have not yet clearly come to what the vision is for us. But this we do know. God has brought us together. Whether you want to blame me for that, I have broad shoulders. If you want to blame the conference for that, conference had no idea we were coming together until after we met several times. If you want to blame the person who came forth and said, you know what, Pastor, now that you are pastoring at Christ as well as here, I think that we ought to look at what it is God is calling us to. You can blame that person as well. But blaming somebody doesn't help us see what the vision of God is. Instead, what we should be asking is, God, where are you in the midst of all of this? Where are you? What are you calling us to? I think he wants us to show others what it means for us to be committed to him, whether we're part of that visioning team or supporting those on that team. I think he wants us to show that we love him completely. You know, as part of a church, we can volunteer to do little things in and around the church for which we're part of. We can maybe serve a little bit in our community, maybe at the food bank. But when we're truly going to be God's church, we have to make a commitment to him. It's not a commitment to a building. It's not a commitment to a denomination. It's not a commitment to the United Methodist Church. It's a commitment to Jesus Christ with a willingness to get up and go. I also believe the Lord wants us to convey this message. We care, we share, we serve. We care about other people enough that we share what we have, which is Jesus Christ, and we do that by serving others. I have a vision, not the vision that God's calling us to, but a vision of the Holy Spirit working in our community. That vision to me is like the waters flowing through the Little Juniata. Or Susquehanna, where the Susquehanna Conference. Water flowing doesn't stay in one place, does it? But what happens to water that does not flow? Becomes stagnant. Take a pond. It'll turn green. It'll smell. Because that water is stagnant. It's motionless. But look at a river. It's continuously flowing. Stand in that river. Let those waters run across your legs. Look to the sides of the riverbanks. What do you see? New growth. A river is constantly changing. It's constantly meandering. And the reason for that is because a river is constantly renewing itself. And so, my friends, we must be like the river. We must be a church that is moving. Because if we're not, then we're like that green, smelly, stagnant pond. So regardless of what vision the vision team comes to, our vision should be to serve the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our vision should be to show others that we love them and care about them, that we are on this journey together, holding hands with one another because we're walking side by side with one another. And as we walk side by side and go out to serve, we grow. New people come with us. It's only when we move that we're going to be able to grow. Together, all of our little lights illuminate and they break into the darkness that is in the world, the darkness that is right here in Tyrone, so that we can bring the true light of Jesus Christ to the hearts of others so they can find that hope for their lives. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. And as we read or heard the scripture being read to us this morning, we see where the eyes of the three disciples who were on that mountaintop with Jesus were opened to something new. They were given a vision. But it also reveals how difficult it was for them. First of all, it had to be difficult for them to have to harness that power that was given to them to not be able to tell until after the Son of Man arose. But the truth is, even with the disciples, they probably didn't understand. And that's how it is with us sometimes. We don't understand what God is calling us to. The same Jesus that took Peter, James, and John on that mountaintop is the same Jesus that is here to give us a vision. That same Holy Spirit power that was given to the disciples after the resurrection of Jesus is that same Holy Spirit power that's given to you and I. And it's that Holy Spirit power that will allow us to discern the vision God has for us. It's that same Holy Spirit power that will allow us to get up and go and to not be afraid. So are we ready to do that? Or do we just want to sit back in our rocking chairs and keep ourselves comfortable? See, if we're ready to be God's church, then we have to give Him all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our being. In the Old Testament scripture, the prophet Isaiah tells us, when the Redeemer comes, we shall arise. Well, my friends, the Redeemer has come. His name is Jesus. And Jesus didn't do ministry from a rocking chair. Jesus got up and went. And that's what He's asking of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are Your people. You have called us. You have brought us together. And so now it's time for us to arise, to shine, to get up and go. Not to be afraid, but to remember that You are the one who is with us. And to remember the words that God spoke to the disciples. This is My beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Lord, may we listen and may we take action. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.